Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6 says this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, if you would read that, put that verse up in the NLT. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. It is a clear command in the Bible, and there's nowhere where there's a command where there's not an ability to do that. Don't worry about anything. You know, worry is the most fruitless. Worry really is for people that don't know Jesus. It's not for the believer, because the believer is left with a lot more to do. And this is what I found, like everybody else. Well, right at the, I was getting my message, and I noticed I was in the big room, and I noticed it was getting warm in there, and I was noticing that. Then I realized that the heat and air unit wasn't working, so I had to call somebody up right away and get them on it. And I sat down there, and Millie said, "Angelo, don't worry about it." And I said, "I know, I've got to preach on that tonight." I said, "That's what I'm preaching about worrying about, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." You can't have, you just can't, it's the most unfruitful, unchristlike thing. And you know what God is trying to move us into? But pray about everything. You know what I found in my life? When I do what the Word says, I'm talking to God all day long. Look here. If you're talking to God all day long, you ain't going to do too bad. Because I promise you, Amos chapter 3 is still, and verse 3 is still there. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you mighty things that you know not. Call unto me. Give it to me. And, you know, we have been caught up. I've noticed since 2019, since COVID, was it 220, whenever that was, that did something to the whole world. It just didn't just do something to Logan County, the whole world. People went into anxiety, and it's still on folks, even believers. And I'm telling you, I've had some good strides with this lately. Some of the things that we worry about is all kinds of things. You wish you were misunderstood, or you're in a battle with somebody. Somebody wants to fight with you. And like I shared with you a few days ago, I pray many times, Father, please help me, because so-and-so, they are far more willing to hurt me than I am to hurt them. Because I know that it just won't help. You know what? And if you do that, that's calling getting in the flesh. And we know that in our flesh, our sin nature, dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good in our flesh. When we answer out of the flesh, I find myself being in prayer more than ever, as I've said to the Lord, "I don't have a plan, Father. I'm not asking you to bless my plan, but into your hands I commit my spirit," as Jesus said on the cross, "Lord, because I want to be in your plan. I want you to be pleased with me. I don't have an agenda. I want to be in your agenda. I want to be at the right place at the right time." Now, that won't get you out of conflicts and be tempted to worry about certain things, because tribulation will still come. John 16:33 says this: "In this world, you will have tribulation." I think it's part of the process of working out your salvation. I think it's part of the process of getting to know the Lord. In fact, when at the great white throne judgment, when people, when he judges people, he's not going to say you committed adultery. He's not going to say you were a murderer. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Now, I want you to let that sink in for a minute. And in Acts chapter 19, God wrought special miracles through Paul, that he had kerchiefs or aprons on his body, and he preached. And then afterwards, he gave them to any that wanted them, and they took them, and they took them home, and they put them on people, and they were healed of whatever disease they had, whatever situation, whatever problem. And in just a little bit here, I'm going to see if anybody wants one. I pray we feel the anointing in this place, don't you? I pray that we just get a visitation from the Lord. Brenda, babe, I would like you to come up here for a second. This is a no-pressure church. You never come on up here with me. And I think you have the ability to do this. You know, God changed you several years ago now. How long ago was it?
I think it's 9 years this month.
9 years this month, she made a big change in her life. You can applaud now if you want to. I have never seen anybody this strung out, this on meth. Meth is its own little devil, isn't it? There's just one meth, and I've never seen, it was just a big thing. But, you know, we've been over that lately, and several times. It's a good testimony. And I believe that the same girl that made a change 9 years ago, you know what it's like when the Holy Spirit fills your heart, when he fills a room. Would you please take this microphone and just ask the Lord in your own words? There's no, to say, God, help us to experience the Holy Spirit tonight, the anointing.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for all of us that are here in this room. I thank you for your presence. And I just ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill the room, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, hon. And amen and amen. Don't worry about anything. Now, worry is just not part of the, it's not walking in the Spirit. It's not part of our faith. It's not in the Word. Worry is for lost people. Okay? But for people, okay, here's what the Word says. In the last days, terrible things is going to happen. This is in Daniel chapter 11. He said, but the people that know their God, depart from me, I never knew you. But the people that know their God will be strong and do mighty deeds. That's what the Word says. And worry is the most, worry will put you in bad places. It just won't help you. And not for any of us. And sometimes we get, you can't have, like, for instance, two unreasonable people in a conflict. And I'm appealing to you that are here tonight. Recently, in the last several months, I had a conflict with somebody that I really loved. It was really bothering me. And I'm going to show you how this works. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Can you put up verse 7? And if you do that, according to verse 7, they'll catch up with me. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, Philippians 4:7, fellas, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, and my point is this here. There we go. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds. I was given this over to God because he gave me some instructions about this. He said, leave that person alone. Just leave them alone. And that was the hardest thing for me, because you want to, people that you love, you want to say, what can't we reason this out? And he said, no, don't do that. He said, I want you to trust me and don't do that. And I didn't do it. I just didn't do it. And you know, I had days of tremendous sorrow over this conflict between me and somebody else. And on those days, part of what I talked to God about is what I said, Father in heaven, I'm having a bad day. I'm having a bad day over this. I'm having a bad day. He says, I know, son. I know. And he said, I'm so proud of you. I'm well pleased. This is another day you did what I said to do. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Last week, I was talking to this person. They called me. I said, I just want you to know I love you. And if you can be better not talking to me, I'm going to respect that, and I'm not going to stop loving you. And since then, it's God just turned the whole thing around. But the word says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Then you will experience God's peace. You know what? How long should you pray? When I was having those bad days and I was telling the Lord, you know what the Lord told me? He said, Angelo, spend some time in prayer about this. Pray about this. Pray about this. And I'm gonna tie these other two places I'm going to go. Pray about this. Pray about it. And you know what happened? How long did you pray? I'm praying till that sorrow left my heart. And I'm telling you the truth. Then a peace came. And then it was another few days, and I had a bad day. I said, Father, I'm having a bad day. He said, son, I know. He said, pray about that situation. Pray for that person. Ask for forgiveness for that person. Put yourself in that person's shoes and pray. Don't just pray. He said, if you'll pray about this, my peace is going to come over you again. The peace that passes understanding. What does that mean? There's no reason to feel good. Jesus, you know what? They were dying on the boat on a stormy night. And Jesus was asleep. I don't think he was very worried about it. And the disciples said, Jesus, for gosh sakes, get up. He said, don't you care that we're going to die? We're going to perish? And he just got up, and you know what he did? He just spoke to the storm. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And we're reminded of Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou so cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, whatever they say, they will receive. Believe it when you say it. And you know what? I'm having a bad day. I learned that worked in relation. There's all kinds of things. Bills that are going to come up. Opportunities that are going to come up. Things that we're waiting on. And we're saying, boy, it's getting awful close to the deadline. I told somebody earlier today, you know, I have never seen God be late in my life or anybody else's life. I really haven't. And, you know, we're on a different kind of a thing. And worry is anti-faith. And the word says we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by circumstances. We don't walk by what we see happening. If we do, We're no better than a grasshopper. You go stomping out at this time of the year, boy, they'll be popping up all over the place trying to get away from you. Okay? We walk by faith and not by circumstance. We walk by faith. What does that mean? I walk by what I believe. And what I believe is this in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And when things start to go wrong in your life, another thing you do, the word says to work out your salvation. I guarantee you, if you just follow Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, you'll be working it out if you do it. And I guarantee you, there isn't anything. You can have peace in a storm. You can have peace in bad news. In fact, having peace, and just, we'll just go into the next verse now. I'm gonna read this verse. Everybody turn with in the King James and hold off, boys. Isaiah chapter 26. I think Kelly used this verse recently. Somebody did. Maybe I did. I don't know. I don't remember. But it's constantly in my heart and in my mind. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "Thou," speaking to God the Father, "thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts thee." Now put that up in the NLT. "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." You have to get out of God's will to worry. You know how many times I've told you recently of some of my things where the Lord said, "Angelo, I just need you to trust me." And for my daughter Shelley's salvation, I had to trust him for 21 years. 2024, she got saved. She's saved. She is saved. And you know what I was able to do? I just gave it to God the Father and walked away from it, man. How did you do that? I cried a lot. Then I just believed in God. I got in the Word. Bible verse on not worrying. A key Bible verse about not worrying is Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Then you scroll up. 10 biblical truths on worry. Release your worry to God. Hey, you know what? Whatever you're worried about, if you go through these 10 verses, they're going to build you up. 10 promises of peace. Bible verses about worry and anxiety. 12 promises how to have peace in a storm. Any storm. 7 Bible verses that taught me not to worry and how. 21 comforting Bible verses about worry, calming scriptures. 30 encouraging Bible verses to overcome worry and anxiety. We've talked about that a lot here because that's what's happening in Logan County. That's what's happening all over everywhere. What does the Bible say about not worrying? What does the Bible say about worry? "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself," okay? Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, many times we worry about things that might happen. I did a study one time, and most of what people worry about never comes to pass. Sinner or saved. What does that tell you? The word says, give no place for the devil. Now, if you're in worry, you've given him place in your life. Well, I can't help it. If you try, you can. If you read these 75 verses that I just read prayerfully and say, God, put that in my life, put that in my heart, help me, Father, take me by the hand, help me, God. And then all of a sudden, you begin to think about the promises of God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, whatever I'm going to go through. That's the first thing that my wife said, Angelo, don't worry, we got this. That was 20 minutes before we had to leave to come. Got off the phone with my AC guy. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Glory to God, glory to God. Because he trusts in you. See what it boils down to. I've told you many testimonies that where God told me many times in my life, Angelo, son, you're going to have to trust me. And I'd get off and get away. He said, now, Angelo, what part of trust me aren't you getting? And, you know, he said, I've got tomorrow. And I began to realize early this morning I was talking to my sister, and I said, you know, we're circumstantial creatures if we're not sleeping in the bunk next to Jesus in the bottom of the boat in the storm, because we have no idea what God's going to do next. And you know what? God ain't going to tell you everything. Because you'll open up and you're stuck, and then the devil go, oh, that's one way. If I'm hurting, I don't let anybody know. I remember one time I was being tormented by the devil. I was just very young. I wasn't even married. I think I was just married. And the devil was doing it. And the Lord said, Angelo, he said, see all these people on this road here? There was a bus stop there and some people. He said, tell the devil that you're going to tell every one of them about Jesus. I was just in my 20s. I just started walking, and the devil said, what are you doing? Don't you see it? And I just said, sir, I pray for people. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And I just began to minister. And you know what? People let me pray for them. You know what that's called? Resisting the devil. Now, I'm going to start this verse, and you finish it. If you resist the devil, he will... It's the truth. Do I always get it right? No. But I got one better than that. My Father in heaven always gets it right. I'm 73. People have come against me, my family, my church, just like you. We've survived every one of those things. Everyone. And one of the most beautiful things you can do is start praying for your enemies during a time when you're having trust issues. I'm having a hard day with this problem, Father. You know, this is a training process. He's getting us ready. Work out your salvation. What does that mean? That means do the things that the Bible says you should do under every circumstances, even anxiety and even worry. Fret not thyself because of the evildoer. That's what the word says. Because you'll see him one minute, and the next minute he'll be gone. I mean really gone. Christ in me is to live, and to die is to gain. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I'm at that point in my life, I understand that now. I understand that better than I did. This is training process. Working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means take it serious. If all we get is Sunday and Wednesday night, we're missing the whole point. The whole point is to try to change the sins of your mind and just learn how to take every thought captive and make every thought obedient to Christ, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Then we bring up Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to the end of the chapter. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, evil and darkness and wicked in high places and in low places. And that's what we're dealing with. Nobody, that wonderful young fellow that was killed today, what was his name again, Joe?
Charlie Kirk
got killed today, assassinated. He was preaching against modern beliefs, things that people think are okay. Please don't tell your kids that they can be a boy if they're a girl or that they can be a cat if they want to, because that is plumb crazy. We don't want to live like that. You know, you have to decide how you want to live, you know. You know what you have to decide on in life? What is worth living for? What is worth giving your life for? And what is worth dying for? The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He was working it out. He was working out his salvation. Last place tonight. And boys, you can just put it up. It's that one we're just going to put up in the King James. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Kind of funny, Kel, you brought that up. I had this message last week. It's the timing of God. When I saw that dirt work, it was beautiful. Just beautiful. Just beautiful. You know, God is good. Everybody in here, you cannot outgive God. And we can't make it by the Ten Commandments. The only way, you know, what's righteousness to us is the same thing that it was with Abraham. Abraham believed God, and God counted that as righteousness. That's the only way we, his creation, can be made acceptable in his sight. It's not by never sinning. Oh, I was really disappointed in myself when I found out after you're saved, you could still sin. And yet that's what communion's about. It's an oil change for your life. It's a refreshing. It's a time to get real with God. And 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares about you. Well, how do I know when to cast all my care? If it's bugging you, talk to him. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and lowly, and easy to approach. Take my yoke upon you, and give me your heavy yoke. I'll give you rest. I'll bless you. I'll take care of this if you'll trust me. One of the longest I've ever trusted the Lord on one particular subject was Shelley's salvation. And you can just, Kel, is that girl saved? Not for a weekend. Going on, I think it might be over a year now. She's just a different person. She's got a great job. She's working for the DHS. She's helping little kids. The foster care system. I want to say to you, we're all prone to worry. Jesus, throughout the scriptures, showed us something that he did. And he was the Son of God. He got alone with God by himself regularly. Driving in the car, going for a ride, prayer time. In the morning, start off with a devotion. Get a Bible verse. Get something. When your feet hit the floor, say, Father, in Jesus' name, like you said on that cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit this day. I don't care if I die today, if that's what you want. And you know what? I'm not going to let the devil kill me. Don't let the devil keep me. Kill me today, Lord. Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Keep your hand upon me, lest I die. Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of thine eye. I don't know if I have two colors here. I've got a few. I've got a red. If you know anybody that you love that needs salvation, I've got some of these. Come up and get it. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to make a step. You're going to have to make a move here. You're going to have to take a step of faith so you can remember. Nobody wants one of them? That's okay. How about the white ones? What do the white ones cover? Do you need an anointing cloth for anything else? If you don't, we'll just put them away. It's not a problem. Come up here. Jesus called people like that. Everybody that Jesus called, he called them publicly. I believe that this is anointed now. I believe you and me anointed this in this service. Is that all? Should I put them back? Everybody good? Okay. Make an altar. Come to the altar and examine your heart like the scripture says. And we'll take communion. Now, hold on just a second, everybody that was up here. Somebody tell me, why do these kids come up here? Kelly, why do these kids come up here? Tell me. Then give it to your mom. I just want to know why they do that.
Well, I'm sure they want to be like you. It's an example. So I don't know if that was the answer you're looking for, but that was my opinion.
I'm not even looking for an answer. I'm just looking for everybody that one can tell me. Why do these children come up here?
Is the kingdom of heaven.
Okay. Anybody else over here want to tell me why do these kids come up here? Anybody? I don't have a pat answer. Now I heard Paul say something.
You invite the children up.
No, I invited everybody up
but
there.
But it's a habit from that on.
Yeah.
That's drilled in them.
Okay. Anybody else?
They want to serve Jesus.
Yeah. I believe you guys sitting back here want to serve Jesus too, but you know what? Can I pray for each one of you kids? Father, in Jesus' name. Children. Bless them, Father. Lord, don't let them be lost. Let them remember these moments all of their life. When y'all come up here, do you feel anything? Okay. Thank you. You and you and Carson, come on up here. And you and you and Kimber, come up here. And any other kid that wants to come up here and serve communion, come on up here. All the kids can come up here. Yeah. And y'all just decide, just kind of split each other up because we're giving you this church. Now, we got this here, we got that there. Now, half of you go with this group, and you guys go right over here, and we're going to start. And you take that group, and you take the people in the sound booth, and the other half of you, just go, and just go with them. Just walk with them. You're helping tonight. Greet somebody with a smile. It's beautiful. Here we go. We're taking communion. I believe that if you were honest when you made an altar and you examined your heart, that you're a candidate for every promise of God. This bread, take, eat, this is my body which was given for you, represents supply for your spirit, soul, and body. Jesus said, I am the manna. I am the manna that came down from heaven for 40 years in the desert, and my Father fed them every day. Whether they were good or bad, it didn't matter. And if you, being natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask? If you need something, if you want something, stand up and tell the Lord. And if you don't, it's okay. If everything's cool, it's all right. I'm not trying to, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get you to know something. If you're a child of God, he's committed to you. He's committed as a parent to you. He's your father. He will not let you down, no matter what kind of an earthly father you had. God the Father will not let you down. All right, I want you to take that emblem and break it. As we break that emblem, we're reminded of one thing. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body, which was broken for you. We just broke it. You put him on the cross. Forget about the person next to you. Forget about Adolf Hitler and the Roman soldier. Forget about Herod and Antipas. Say with me, Father in heaven, thank you for giving